Please be seated. If you'll turn back with me to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. And we're going to be considering one verse this morning, and it's verse 34. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will surely plead their cause that he may give rest to the earth, but unrest to the inhabitants of Babylon. We're taking a break from our studies in Acts this morning. We'll be returning to the book of Acts this evening. But for our time of worship this morning, and because we have so many family members here, I thought it would be good to think of this word family. And I have a question for you. Who is your closest relative? Who is your next of kin? Or we could phrase the question using a biblical term. Who is your kinsman? Now, this is a word that some of you might know from the book of Ruth. Ruth in the Old Testament, she had a kinsman redeemer, a close family member who would step in and help to provide for her. In Ruth's case, her kinsman redeemer was a man called Boaz. Who is your kinsman redeemer? Which close family member is ready and willing to step in to help you? Which close family member is ready to step in to pay a price to set you free or to give you what is needed to help you on your way? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 34, we have these wonderful words. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. This word Redeemer in verse 34, it's the word kinsman redeemer. It's the same word that is used of Boaz in the book of Ruth. It's the same word that appears in the Psalms that we've been singing. It's the same word that appears in various Old Testament laws that tell us what the kinsman redeemer is to do. And it's an important word. It's a word that was precious to the Jews in Jeremiah's day. It's a word that was precious to the Jews who would later return from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Who is your close relative? Who is that relative who will pay the price? Who will set you free? Who will buy back and restore what has been lost? This morning, I want us to look at this verse in Jeremiah and to unpack for us who our kinsman redeemer is and to look at what this means for us. There are those who have lots of family members here today. And you're especially looking forward to the baptism of cousins, kinsmen. But who is our closest family member? Who is the greater kinsman? Let's look at verse 34. And the first thing I want us to consider are the duties and the qualifications of our kinsman redeemer. The duties and qualifications. We lose something in the translation of various words. And so our English Bibles, we often use one word to translate various different Hebrew words. And that's true for the word redeemer here in verse 34. There are several Hebrew words that the English Bible translates as redeemer. But this word in verse 34 is a special word. It's the word goel, the kinsman redeemer. And we can read about the meaning of this word as we look through some of the various laws in the books of Leviticus and Numbers. Well, what are the qualifications? What makes someone a kinsman redeemer? Well, to be a redeemer or a goel, you had to firstly be a close family relative. You had to be a blood relation. In fact, You had to be the closest blood relation of the person that you were going to act on behalf of. The nearest living blood relation has certain obligations and offices that they are to enact. But then a second qualification is that you have to have the means to bring about the action that's required. You have to have the ability to perform the work of a kinsman redeemer, this redeeming work, paying a price. It would be no use if your close blood relation wasn't able to pay, wasn't able to act as the redeemer. Then it would pass on to someone else. So you have to be able to do it. And then thirdly, in the qualifications, you also have to be willing to accomplish the work. If you remember back to Boaz in the book of Ruth, he wasn't actually the closest relation. There was someone else. There was another man. He was to be the kinsman redeemer, but he didn't want to do it. He wasn't willing. And so for you to be a kinsman redeemer, you have to be willing to pay the price. You have to be ready to do it. There has to be a desire to do it. And so Boaz became the kinsman redeemer of Ruth. There are these three qualifications. They have to be a blood relation, a close family member. They have to be able to do the work, to pay the price. They have to be willing, have a desire to do it. Well, then what are the duties of this kinsman redeemer? Three main duties that are required. If you turn quickly to Leviticus chapter 25, we're going to be looking at some of these duties and some of the Old Testament laws. Leviticus 25 and verse 23 to 27. Leviticus 25, 23 to 27. Here is the first duty for the kinsman redeemer. They are the ones who would pay a price to secure a lost inheritance. They would be the ones to pay the price to restore to you land or a possession that you've lost. The land that God had provided for his people was divided amongst the tribes, and they were to keep the land that was allotted to them as an inheritance for their family through the generations. And you couldn't sell the land, because Leviticus 25 tells us that the land belongs to God. You could lease it out to someone for a maximum of 50 years. So if you were poor, and if you needed to pay debts, and if you sold your land, then your nearest family member, your blood relation, your kinsman, he would come along and he would pay the price that you might get back the inheritance that you lost. That you might have a place in the land. That you might be able to have restored to you this possession that was given up. The nearest redeemer would come and redeem, pay back what was lost. The kinsman redeemer pays the price to secure a lost inheritance. But the second duty of the kinsman redeemer is to pay the price to set free the slave. Look down to verse 47 to 49 of Leviticus 25. Here's the second duty. If your brother becomes poor and sells himself as a slave, then he can be bought back, he can be bought out of slavery by a close relative. The kinsman redeemer is responsible for setting the slave free. He will free his brother. Isn't that wonderful? Again, if you were poor, if you fell into debt, you could sell yourself as a slave to someone. You would work off that debt. But here is a blood relation who will come along and pay the price that you're set free from slavery.
Wonderful.
The provisions in God's law, this kinsman redeemer. The third main duty of the kinsman redeemer is as the blood avenger. If you turn over to Numbers chapter 35, Numbers chapter 35, verses 19 to 27. Numbers 35, verse 19 to 27. Here the term or the word avenger of blood, it's the same word for kinsman redeemer. It's the same word goel, but here it's translated as avenger of blood. He's responsible for putting to death the murderer of his close relative. So if you were murdered, your close relative, your blood relation, would come along and he would carry out justice for you. He would avenge the wrong that has been done to you. Now this might shock us, but if we think about it carefully, this places the responsibility into the hands of one man. It takes away the fact that there could be a mob or a rabble who try to go out to avenge you. That isn't allowed in God's word. And so it's placed carefully and thoughtfully into the hands of one person. The sword of execution, it doesn't belong to an angry mob or rabble, but it's placed firmly into the hands of one man. That the kinsman redeemer is the one who will act justly for you. The one who will avenge the wrong that has been done to you. Here is one who will carry out vengeance justly and faithfully. And he's a close family member. I was going to ask the question, which of your family members would do these things outside of the last one? Outside of that. I asked the question, who is your close family member? Who'd be willing to pay the price to buy back land or an inheritance that you lost? To set you free if for some reason you ended up in debt or a slave to someone? Who would be the one person who would act to avenge, to bring about justice for you? These are the qualifications and these are the duties of the kinsman redeemer. That's a long way, I suppose, to go around to say, look back to Jeremiah 50, verse 34. But it's important that we get this in our heads before we look at this redeemer. Jeremiah 50, verse 34. Their Redeemer is strong. The Redeemer in this verse is the kinsman Redeemer. This is for the people of Judah. They're about to be taken exile into Babylon. They're going to be removed from the land that was their, it was their inheritance, their possession. It was special to them. Things were going to be horrific. There was going to be the shedding of blood. It was going to be a time of despair and dismay, and upset. And now God speaks and says to these little weak people, you have a kinsman redeemer. You have one who is a close family member. You have one who will pay the price to have you restored to the inheritance. You have one who will pay the price to set you free. You have one who will act justly and will avenge for the wrongs that have been done to you. Do you see how all of a sudden, at the beginning of verse 34, this word redeemer means something? We have a redeemer who is strong. Here is the closest family member, and he has the means and the ability and the willingness to pay the price. He has the desire to buy us back, to restore to us what's going to be lost. He has the desire to act justly on behalf of us, his brother, sister. When God's people hear that they have a Redeemer, when they hear that word Redeemer, they know this is the kinsman Redeemer. This is the close family relative who is strong and able and willing to pay the price and restore to us everything that is lost. Here is the one who will act on our behalf. The qualifications and duties of the kinsman redeemer. But secondly, here in verse 34, we have the name of our kinsman redeemer. We're told the Lord of hosts is his name. This is none other than the covenant God, the God of promise, the mighty Lord, the one who is king and commander of the host of armies. 18 times in the Old Testament, God is described for us as the kinsman redeemer. This special term, Goel. Here we are being told that the Redeemer is the infinite God, the holy God, the righteous God. He is the Redeemer of his people. What a comfort for the people in Jeremiah's day. They're going to lose everything. But the covenant Lord God is going to restore it. How do they know? How do we know everything will be restored? Because he is the kinsman redeemer. And the Lord is his name. The people of Judah and Jerusalem, they were saying, we have a family member who's closer than any other relative, closer than anyone else, nearer to us than anyone else. And he can restore, and he will restore. The covenant Lord, the God of hosts is his name. No other nation would come to help Israel and Judah. Not even those that she considered to be her allies at different times. There is no help from anyone else. But they have a family member. One who will step up to the mark. One who will carry out the responsibilities of being that kinsman redeemer. The infinite, eternal, all-powerful, all-wise God. The one who entered into promise with his people. Their closest relative. And God will buy his people back. He will set them free. They will return to the inheritance. It will be restored to them. He will avenge the wrongs that have been done to them. Who is our kinsman redeemer? Who is the closest family member that you have who's ready to pay the price? Who's ready to act in this way? Who can you trust on? Who is nearer to you than anyone else? Who is a blood relation that is closer to you than anyone else? The answer is Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, the King of glory. He is the one who is our closest family member. He is our blood relation. He took on flesh. He became our kinsman. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Here is one who took on flesh, who became man for us, a blood relation. And not just a close family relation, not just a blood relation, but he's able and willing to fulfill the role as our Goel, as our kinsman redeemer. Jesus sings in Psalm 40, I delight to do your will, O my God. He delights to do the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? The redemption of his people. And here is one who is able and willing. He has the desire to pay the price, to restore to us what is lost, to set us free from slavery, and to act justly on our behalf. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Your will be done." Here is the infinite, holy, eternal Son of God. And he is our Redeemer. The one who became flesh is the willing Redeemer. He is strong. Strong to redeem. And he has redeemed us. He paid the price that we might have our share of the inheritance. What was lost in the fall, Jesus Christ has restored. And if you're a Christian this morning, your Redeemer is called Jesus Christ. And he has paid the price that you might have an eternal inheritance, that you might have possession in the new heavens and the new earth. You have an eternal dwelling place. What was lost is restored. He's redeemed those under the law that we might receive adoption as sons, that we might become co-heirs with Christ, heirs according to promise. He set us free. He's released us. We were slaves. Slaves to sin and slaves to the kingdom of darkness. But the price has been paid there on the cross through the shedding of his blood that we would be released from that kingdom of darkness and brought into a kingdom of light. The price has been paid in full. Titus chapter 2 verse 14. Our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. He has set us free. And he's our kinsman redeemer in avenging our blood. He brings about justice for us. Look at verse 34 of Jeremiah 50. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will surely plead their cause. Another way to translate that would be, he will strive for their cause. He will strive for his people. He will work for his people. He will give himself for his people. He pleads our cause. He brings about justice for his people. And he brings us rest. This verse in Jeremiah, it appears in a long section, as I said, from chapter 46 to 51, where God is announcing judgments against 10 nations that surround Judah. 10 nations that have carried out injustices towards Judah. The longest of those judgments is given against Babylon. We're told that Babylon will suffer at the hands of God because of all of her wickedness. God will act on behalf of his people. He will punish the wicked, and he will bring rest. He will bring comfort. He will bring peace and contentment to his own. Friends, Jesus Christ restores everything that is lost to us because of sin. And that also means he will judge the wicked. He will execute his justice on those who have injured and persecuted his people. He restores honor to his people. He strives for his church, his bride. He pleads our cause. He restores us. The Shorter Catechism is right in the answer to question 21. Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? And the answer is, the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. our kinsman redeemer. His name is Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 34, is speaking about Jesus Christ. And that brings us thirdly and lastly to the application of our kinsman redeemer. The application of our kinsman redeemer. We're told in verse 34 that he brings peace or rest to his people, but unrest to the inhabitants of Babylon. Babylon is going to be pictured for us again in Scripture in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation, in chapter 16 to 19, we see that those of Babylon are those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Those of Babylon are those who are not his people. And part of his work as kinsman redeemer is to bring unrest, to bring eternal unrest to those who are outside of Christ. If you're not a Christian this morning, then this word, kinsman redeemer, should worry you. It should disturb you. Here is one who will avenge his people. He will act justly. And that means bringing unrest to those who are outside of his kingdom. Eternal unrest. And so what you must do this morning is you must come to him. Have this work of kinsman redeemer applied to your life. Seek him and ask that the price that has been paid to set his people free, to purchase for them an eternal inheritance, will be the price that has been paid for you. His death on the cross, his shedding of blood, that price. You must come to Christ. Come to this kinsman redeemer. Have him as your kinsman redeemer. Who wouldn't want a close family member willing and able to cancel your debts, willing and able to restore to you everything that's lost? Who wouldn't want that? But if you're outside of Christ, then we're told that what he will bring is unrest. Eternal unrest. So come to him. Have his work applied to you. But then for those of us who are Christians, and I want us to see the pastoral application of this great work of our Redeemer. For you this morning as a Christian, here is one who is closer than a brother. Here is one who is our closest friend, our closest family member. We can often feel removed from people. We can feel distant. We can feel lonely. We can feel that we're just at odds with those around us because of our circumstances or our struggles. And even though we're surrounded by blood relations this morning, we can feel isolated. If that's you this morning and you're a Christian, then look what is said of you. You have a kinsman redeemer, and his name is the Lord of hosts, and he will strive for you. He works for you. Here is one who will restore to you everything that's lost. Here is one who has set you free. Here is one who acts justly. Here is one who will give you rest and peace. Do you realize he is closer to you than anyone else? And you're united to him, your kinsman, your nearest relation. Friends, this morning, if you're a Christian, you have the God of heaven on your side, walking with you. Fellowship with him in his word, in prayer. Talk to him. Listen to him. Feed on him. Here is your kinsman redeemer, the one who has paid that high price, the one who has bought your inheritance. Did you know that here this morning, even with there being so many family members here, here is one that is nearer to you than anyone else, your nearest relative. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he will glorify you because he strives for you. And he will avenge all the wrongs that have been done to his people. Surely we should be like Job, who in the midst of all of his suffering, all of his pain, all of his loss, Job was able to cry out, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my kinsman Redeemer, that's the term that Job was using, my Goel, he lives. Friends, this should strengthen us and comfort us this morning. Do you know you have a Redeemer, a family member, a near relative who acts on your behalf? Began with the question, who is your closest relative here this morning? Who's your kinsman? Well, there is one who is closer to you than any other. One who has paid the price in full that we might be set free. One who strives for you. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen.